Welcome to the PMO and Project Leadership Podcast. I'm Louise Gardner, the founder and managing director of Pledge Consulting, and your host as we dig into episode 3 of this series on project management office basics. So in this episode, we're going to do a deep dive into the PMO and following on really from the last episode where we guided you through some of the intricate and finer details of setting up a PMO. Today we're going to shift gears and we're going to look a little bit more at best practices and common practices to help you ensure that your PMO is a really value-adding function and a driving force for effective project management and good project outcomes. So let's get into it. So the first thing I'd like to talk about today is the importance of engaging stakeholders. So a PMO doesn't operate in isolation. Exactly the opposite is true. It's one of the kind of most collaborative departments in an organisation. Certainly to do it well, it needs to work that way. And its success is very much intertwined with stakeholder engagement and collaboration. So the first thing that you need to do when you are setting up this PMO, and furthermore, when you're trying to make sure your PMO is hitting the high notes for everybody, is identify who those key stakeholders are. Understand who has a vested interest in project outcomes and in the success of the PMO. And this includes everybody from your project managers to your project sponsors to your leadership team and usually the wider team as well. There will be some key people right across the organisation who have a vested interest in your success. Find out who they are. Once you know who they are, then you've got to understand how and when to communicate with them. You need to keep them in the loop, but it's more tricky than that. There's more nuance. You need to only tell people things that are relevant to them. Too much communication will make people shut down and opt out. And then to get really successful in this space, you've got to encourage and create feedback loops. You don't want communication ever to be a one-way street. You want to understand their feedback, their concerns, and their insights, and you need to make sure you get that information back. This two-way communication is absolutely essential for being able to refine your PMO and to build that trust, which ultimately enables your success. Once you have a firing PMO, something that people use and are starting to appreciate, you need to understand how to measure that success. It's one thing to really feel like you're doing a good job, and that's important, but it can be really powerful to have that performance on a page. So you need metrics. The common metrics around PMO success, typically we'll use KPIs, things like, you know, project completion rates, are they finishing on time, are they finishing on budget, are stakeholders satisfied, and measure this against the metrics from before there was a PMO. That can be one really simple way of saying, hey, look, we're making a real difference here. One of the other things that people care about a lot and one of the drivers often for setting up a PMO is reporting. And to be able to provide consistent and accurate reporting is a success metric in its own right. You know, one of the things that I enjoy about working with new PMOs is that first time when you give an executive or a project sponsor a report and their eyes light up. They've never seen that quality of data before. It can be a task that takes a little while to get right, actually. A new PMO will often start from, if not the beginning, from a very low base in terms of building up good data. Once you've got that good data and you put it into a report, the trends will help you spot consistency, and the leadership team and the sponsors will start to use that data to inform their conversations and decision making, which is the sign of a really high performing PMO. And then one of the other ways to measure success is to compare your performance against other PMOs. You can do it against industry standards or similar organisations. You can also do it internally. And look at the way you're performing against other PMOs in the organisation. If you are a large organisation, of course, with multiple PMOs. There's a lot of value in doing that internal benchmarking. I mean, there's value in all benchmarking, of course. But when you do it internally, it's so powerful to be able to learn from other departments. And, you know, it's a very low time and cost investment as well. So I'd encourage you to have a think about that. The next factor in having a high-performing PMO is the need to continuously develop. So project management is a very dynamic area. It's not just dynamic in terms of we're managing projects that have, you know, time and cost outcomes and shifting requirements. Project managers in itself is dynamic. But the industry, I guess, around project management and PMOs is also quite dynamic. And being able to keep up with the latest thinking and the latest methodologies and the key thinking is really, really important. Again, it not only helps your day-to-day performance, but it supports your credibility within your organisation. So make sure that you stay up with updated with trends, from any new methodologies that are emerging to innovative tools or software solutions. Keep your team across any industry shifts. Some of the industry bodies can be quite useful to engage with on this. In Australia, we have the Australian Institute of Project Management, or the AIPM. In the UK, of course, they've got the APM, the Association for Project Management. And around the world, we have the PMI, Project Management Institute. And so all of those bodies, and there are more, have regular networking, regular information sessions. So I would encourage you to go out and get involved with your local chapter. It will help you stay up to date with industry trends. When you come back with that information, one of the things that I find useful to do with our team is to hold workshops, just internal workshops, to talk about what you've learned, to share knowledge, to hear people's views, and to hear from other people in the team that might be doing similar things. That knowledge permeation is so important for a high-functioning team of any kind. Regular training and development is such a motivator. And then, of course, you can go on external courses. Think about, you know, what we do with our team is at least once a year we have a look around what's on offer from external course providers that we like, and at least a couple of us will go off and do some different things, and then we'll share with the rest of the group as to whether we thought it was useful and we can use it in our day-to-day business. So one of a good example of that right now is our team, our pledge team, the internal team, have recently done a design thinking course, and it's really refreshed us and given us a new layer to consider problems through. So it doesn't even just have to be purely project management or PMO related. Anything that helps support effectiveness and efficiency should be on your radar. One of the other things that's really important today when we're talking about high performing teams and really being successful in what we do is encouraging flexibility and adaptability. It's absolutely essential today to, apart from anything else, to retain our teams. People want flexibility post-COVID. It's a non-negotiable for many, many people now. And that's no different with PMO teams. The good news is for PMO teams, we are a function usually that thrives with that flexible environment, and it doesn't have any negative impacts on what we do, as long as it's managed, of course. Adaptability and agility goes way beyond just ways of working, of course, and it should be part of the way we view ourselves as a team. So one of the things that we do to stay adaptable and agile is to review our processes regularly. What worked a year ago or even 6 months ago might not be optimal right now. So we review our processes and our ways of working at least twice a year. And that feels like a good frequency to us. It might be more or less for you. But we find that we are shifting and making tweaks. We don't tend to rewrite things, but we definitely will shift and morph gradually over time. Another good way to make sure that you are hitting the high notes with your people is to get feedback from your customers. In the case of a PMO, that's usually the project teams and the leadership team. Get regular, candid feedback from them. If something is going wrong, you'll probably hear about it really fast. But you might be doing some things right, or might think that some things might need even a subtle tweak. Usually to get that feedback, you have to ask. So seek feedback from the people on the ground and change your ways of working as necessary. And of course, tailor your approaches. Many organisations now do different sizes of project, different types of project, and one size doesn't fit all. And the rigid methodologies and ways of working of the past don't work now for most people, even those organisations that are doing, you know, let's take construction, for example, a very traditional large construction and engineering project doesn't these days just have a very traditional approach. They will likely have technology elements. They will likely be engaging with subcontractors and vendors prior to the design starting. It's become more and more iterative, lending some of the tools and techniques from some of the agile methods that are more used in the technology sector. So tailor your approach. The way it's always been doesn't have to be the way it is. In fact, you'll benefit from borrowing from other industries, other businesses. And then finally, leveraging technology is a really powerful way to stay ahead of the pack when you're trying to build a high-performing team. PMOs are a group that collects data, and to be able to utilize that data effectively, you will need a tool of some kind. I guess, you know, we stay away, and I stay away personally from recommending specific tools, because it really depends on what you need, what the right tool is for you or for your team. But I guess a few kind of indicators that might suggest what tool is right for you is how collaborative you want to be. Is your data going to be used by the whole team? Are you going to be doing inputs and outputs? If so, you want a platform that allows for collaboration, real-time tracking, probably data analytics. You probably want to automate repetitive tasks. And so, you know, Nirvana for all of us in the PMO space is the push-button report. I've never seen it work quite that simply. But, you know, with the advent of AI, automation now is within our grasp. That push-button report is almost with us. So the more automation you get, things like workflows are pretty easy to automate. So around risks or issues or lessons learned, that can really be automated very simply. And that will free up your time's team for more strategic endeavours. It also stops people feeling like they are administrators working on low-value tasks. Because most people in PMO teams are you know, beyond the administrator level. They're more into that analytical or management level. And so it makes people feel that they are acting in line with their skills. And borrowing from the last one, really, stay updated on tech trends. So from everything that's going on in the AI space, to understanding what PPM tools are out there, to understanding what virtual and augmented reality could do for project management, be aware of emerging technologies that can boost your efficiency and give you something extra in your cap for that high-performing PMO. So to wrap it up for today then, best practices are the bedrock of an effective PMO. From engaging your stakeholders to good communication to embracing today's technology, you know, all of these things offer a roadmap for PMO excellence. And you don't have to go into them all in, all at once. Really, what I would recommend is that you nibble a bit off and see if it suits you. As I said, I think in the first episode, PMOs are a very varied things. What's right for one may not be right for you. So try them out before you go all in. In the next episode, we're going to look at some of the challenges that PMOs face often and how some strategies you might use to overcome them. So thanks for joining us today. And remember that the journey to a successful PMO is strategy, it's adaptability, it's continuous improvement. Look forward to seeing you on the next one. Thanks. Did you know that as well as providing a range of consulting, advisory, delivery and training services, Pledge Consulting also provide coaching and mentoring solutions. We provide coaching and mentoring for individuals, groups and teams. And if you'd like to know more about these services, please take a look at our website on www.pledgeconsulting.com.au or reach out to us by email on info@pledgeconsulting.com.au. Thanks.